VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. I was looking at a story that came out from CBS News the other day, and they reported that in the middle part of June 2023, and I quote, Dr. Jesse Ehrenfeld, an anesthesiologist, made history when he was inaugurated as the new president of the American Medical Association, becoming the first openly gay leader of the nation's largest group of physicians and medical students. Well, in light of many states taking legislative action to protect gender-confused children from being prescribed hormone blockers or cross-sex hormones or forever-lasting body-altering surgery, Dr. Ehrenfeld said this, quote, "We have a health care system in crisis. Today, there are many backseat drivers telling us what to do. You know, we've got regulators that are discarding science and telling physicians how to practice medicine, putting barriers in care." He said those barriers include what he considers the criminalization of healthcare. He says that criminalization has occurred in areas including gender-affirming care and abortion services. We've heard that term often, haven't we? Gender-affirming care? If we're going to promote such care, should we not recognize that God created two sexes, male and female? And no matter what you do, you cannot change from one to the other? Well, indeed, gender-affirming care is being touted by groups like the AMA, by LGBTQ activist organizations, by educational institutions, and promoted by many politicians. Today, we're going to introduce you to another professional medical group that takes exception to this narrative that's being espoused by these organizations. With us today, we welcome back Dr. Jane Orient, Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. They're a nonpartisan professional association of physicians and all types of practices and specialties across the country that are dedicated to the highest ethical standards of the Oath of Hippocrates and to preserve the sanctity of the patient-physician relationship and the practice of private medicine. Dr. Orient is a medical doctor, obtained her undergraduate degrees in chemistry and mathematics from the University of Arizona in Tucson, her MD from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. She completed an internal medicine residency at Parkland Memorial Hospital and University of Arizona affiliated hospitals and became an instructor at the University of Arizona College of Medicine and a staff physician at the Tucson Veterans Administrative Hospital. She's been in solo private practice since 1981, and in addition to AAPS, she's been managing editor for Doctors for Disaster Preparedness and managing editor of the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Orient, thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So this term gender-affirming care is it seems to be the present-day mantra being bellowed out by many of these groups. Let's begin by defining this. What exactly is meant by gender-affirming care?
I think we should refuse to accept their terminology. What is this supposed to mean? It's supposed to mean approving of radical, extreme, very harmful treatments given to helpless children who've been exploited and manipulated, taken away from their parents, or from at least from the previous close relationship they had with their parents, and made to sound like something good. I mean, it's trying to affirm a lie. I mean, you don't need to affirm that you're a boy or girl the way God made you. I mean, that's just obvious constantly. But you, I guess, have to affirm over and over again that you're something else and that your perceptions of your own body are mistaken.
What, in your opinion, is promoting this, what looks like an explosion of those seeking, and I call it, and I'm putting this in quotes, anytime I use it, it's in quotes, gender-affirming care. What's causing this explosion of those seeking such affirmation?
I think that it's just one of a number of things that are being done to destroy our traditions, our culture, our faith, to create chaos, and to make people, you know, distressed and confused and susceptible to being ruled by those who consider themselves to be our betters.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we look through ages past, I mean, haven't people gone through a stage of being gender confused?
I don't remember anything like this ever before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have always been a very small number of people in the population that have this confusion or dysphoria or discomfort with their gender,
mm-hmm.
the desire to be something else or a delusion that they are something else. I mean, there are delusions throughout history, all kinds of delusions, people thinking they're Napoleon or Queen Elizabeth or some other thing that they're not, including maybe a person of the opposite sex.
Don't most people grow out of this gender dysphoria?
If you allow children to go through normal development or puberty, up to 90% or more of them grow out of this discomfort that they have with their sex.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer confused about whether they're a boy or girl. You know, once they have their growth spurt and their voice deepens and they get a beard and so on.
You know, doctor, they're starting to get children younger and younger to question what they are, boy or girl. And we're seeing this at preschool age. We are seeing this instructions, whether it be through so-called educational programming on television or preschool programs in various schools. And doubts are being placed in children's minds from the very outset. Isn't this at a time when a child's brain is still developing? I mean, there's many years of development ahead of them, is there not?
Absolutely, there is. And this sort of thing's been going on at a lower level for a long time with SECUS, S-I-E-C-U-S,
mm-hmm.
which is trying to educate children comprehensively about sex, teach them about sexual perversions, get them to think about sex all of the time, trying to normalize pornography, and trying to break down traditional standards of morality, or maybe not, shouldn't say just traditional standards, but God's law, or just the natural order of the universe, or a natural order of how human nature thrives best.
When is biological sex determined?
Well, at conception, it depends on whether an X sperm or a Y sperm manages to fertilize the egg.
Mm-hmm. So at conception, that's when that determination is made.
It's made there. The first cell in your body, the fertilized egg, is either an XX or an XY, and your whole body is derived from that one cell, and almost every single one of them, except for some maybe mistakes that are made along the way, are going to be either an XX female or an XY male.
And medically speaking, is there a difference between sex and gender?
Who knows what gender means? It used to be, if you look at an old dictionary, it was purely a grammatical thing and determined what pronouns you used and what adjectives. You know, if you have a conjugated language like German or Spanish, then, you know, there's two genders or three genders that you know, they have nothing to do with sex, you know, like
mm-hmm.
der Tisch for the table in German or la mesa, feminine for the table in Spanish, purely arbitrary. It's just a way of I think, making language more easily understandable.
Sure. So, but through the ages, one always thought that sex and gender are, in essence, one and the same, male and female.
Right.
Can a person change their sex? Is it fluid? I mean, we hear a lot of gender fluidity today. That's another term. Can a person change their sex?
It is impossible to change the sex whatever you do. I mean, what are you going to get into every cell in your body and replace one pair of chromosomes? And if you replace your whole body, does that mean that it's a different person? I mean, this whole idea of there's something that gets attached to the wrong body. I mean, where does that come from in science? I mean, your body develops from one cell, and it's a continuous process. I mean, it's not as though this must be some sort of religious or some other kind of thought, but it has nothing to do with science or with reality.
And yet we have the new director of the AMA said, quote, we've got regulators that are discarding science and telling physicians how to practice medicine. Is not this individual, in your opinion, discarding science?
Oh, yeah. What he says is true. It's just that he sort of got upside down and backwards as to who it is that's discarding science.
Mm-hmm. And I see even from this administration, whether it be on dealing with the COVID crisis or whatever it may be, how many times have we heard follow the science? But yet on this issue, they don't want to follow the science.
No, well, they don't want to follow the science on COVID either. They want to follow the opinion mm-hmm. of someone who's in authority, who wants to tell you what to do, who wants you to be frightened, and who wants you to accept whatever they want to impose on you.
You know, I've heard of situations of those who are gender confused who will meet with a medical doctor, and just within a short appointment, they're leaving with prescribed hormone blockers. I mean, that's got to be dangerous.
Well, of course it's got to be dangerous, and these same clinics will say they have great expertise and we carefully evaluate everybody, but they really don't. These patients may see someone who's got some sort of credentials for a few minutes and who's following the protocol that we want to get as many people into the system as possible. You know, once we get them in here, they're going to be confused and they're going to be anxious and they're going to have side effects of drugs and they're going to be a patient for life.
Right. Well, what impact is there upon a child that receives puberty blockers or sex hormones of the opposite sex?
I think we don't entirely know because we haven't been doing this to these poor children for very long. But these puberty blockers have been used to chemically castrate sex offenders. They're, I guess, started out as a treatment for prostate cancer. They can be used for precocious puberty where you have like a very young child who's developing much faster than normal. But to be used to impede normal development, which occurs at all kinds of levels. It's intellectual development, it's development of your bones, your growth, development of your cardiovascular system. It's not just about your secondary sex characteristics, but about all types of your metabolism. And what's going to be the result? Well, we don't know for sure, but we're already seeing some bad things, like young men having old ladies' disease called osteoporosis, where their bones are weak and fracture.
Hmm. Other things?
Well, it's probably bad for your heart. It may keep you from your mental acuity from ever reaching its full development. You won't reach your full height. You're never going to catch up. If you stop development for a period of time, and it's supposed to be going along in a sequence, everything's dependent on everything else, and if you block that and stop that, you're never going to be able to catch up.
Dr. Jane Orient is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and again, in quotes, we're talking about so-called gender-affirming care today. That's the mantra that we're hearing, and folks, there's danger. There's danger for those that are going down this pathway. We'll be back with more discussion after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we see right-to-life efforts all over the news these days. What does the Bible say about this?
Chris, the Bible is clear. Humankind is created in the image of God with great value and worth in His sight and is to be respected and protected. At conception, the embryo takes on human status, although not yet completely grown. The Bible discusses how the growing embryo is an individual, has feelings, and on some occasions even expresses itself. When a pregnant woman was injured in Bible times, such that the baby lost its life, there were consequences to be faced. The Bible doesn't give us all the details, but there's enough there to be certain that the unborn child is a viable human person and must be protected. Chris, the back-to-Genesis way of thinking helps us understand modern issues.
For more on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Dr. Jane Orion. She is Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Dr. Orion, before we continue our discussion today on so-called gender-affirming care, give us a word about your organization, if you would.
AAPS was founded in 1943 to fight against government takeover of medicine, to fight against socialized medicine, to fight for the right of patients and physicians to be treated or to practice medicine according to traditional medical ethics, and for doctors to prescribe what they thought was best for their patients, to treat patients like individual human beings, not like cogs in a wheel, or not like a subject of the government or the third-party payer.
Mm-hmm. And you've got great concerns as the direction the AMA has gone.
Oh, yeah, ever since 1943 or even before. Wow. I think the AMA has done almost nothing to support traditional medical ethics. They edit the Oath of Hippocrates basically out of existence. They extirpate the parts about not killing people like abortion or euthanasia and don't even admit that they've done that. They've even gotten rid of the phrase, do no harm, because it's apparently okay to do harm as long as you are abiding by what's good for the state or the collective.
How does a medical professional come alongside you? You've got a membership that they can get engaged with?
Yes. Our website is aapsonline.org. They can join at aapsonline.org/join. Or they can sign up to receive our alerts and our periodic, you know, once every 2 weeks or so, reports on what we're doing on the legal and legislative front, get access to our publications, all free. But we're totally supported by dues paid by our members.
Okay.
Not by a business that collects money for copyrights on government regulations.
So you're not the go-to organization for pharmaceutical companies?
No, we don't get anything from them.
So, Dr. Orient, your organization, too, through these releases, information, and so forth, just common, ordinary lay people can also get engaged and receive that as well, correct?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're very welcome to do so and to pass along the information. I think we're the only organization that had a self-help guide for patients with COVID, some of the things to look for, some of the ways to help prevent COVID, methods of early treatment, things to ask your doctor about,
mm-hmm.
and just a description of the course of the illness and what you can expect.
AAPSonline.org is the website, AAPSonline.org. That stands for Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, AAPSonline.org. We're talking about, and again, I put this in quotes, so-called gender-affirming care. And Dr. Orient, we know that there are those that are readily putting children on these puberty blockers or sex hormones for the opposite sex. And there are some that are wanting to push this even further for irreversible surgeries. And for many of these, there's just no going back, is there?
How can you go back when you've cut off part of your body?
Yeah.
There really isn't any going back. And there are many more and more people coming forward who reject this. They were told, oh, you'll feel much better. You won't be depressed anymore. People will accept you more. And if you don't like it, well, like one notorious surgeon even said, if at some point in your life you decide you want to have breasts, you can go out and get them.
My.
You know, and get artificial implants. But, you know, they won't be the real thing.
I just read the story of a young girl, 13 years old, now bringing action, legal action, because of the fact that she went through a mastectomy and didn't understand. I mean, her mom or parents took her in just kind of bewildered for an appointment, and they medical community walked her down this path, and now, you know, she's suffering the harm and the damage.
Right. She was 13, and there's another young woman who is also suing Kaiser Permanente. She was a little bit older when this was done to her. But you can say, well, minors shouldn't, you shouldn't do that to minors, but should you do it to an 18-year-old? I mean, do you suddenly, once you pass your 18th birthday, you know, have insight into how you're going to feel about this the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Is it ethical for a physician to amputate normal body parts and give the person pain and scars and disability for the rest of that person's life? I mean, women who have to have a mastectomy for cancer really suffer from it. It's painful for them. And why don't we learn something from them? Here we're doing it for girls with perfectly normal breasts.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a while ago in our interview that a person who goes down this path is really committed. I mean, they're committing this patient to lifelong care.
They will have to have lifelong care for the complications of surgery, for the complications of the hormones, for the psychological problems. Maybe they're not able to fit in, and of course they're going to blame that on other people, like men who just really don't want to date a boy who's pretending to be a girl.
Mm-hmm.
There's an excellent book coming up by Miriam Grossman. If you have a chance to listen to her, you should. She is a psychiatrist, and she points out, I've seen a draft of some of the book, is there nearly 49,000 people who have signed up with the Reddit.com detransitioner site. Nearly 50,000 people have figured out that maybe they did the wrong thing.
Wow.
Looking for help. You know, if they've had surgery and they go to a surgeon to try to help them, you know, like maybe they can't pee, or they're having pain, or they're having infection, or rotting tissue, and that surgeon will say, why don't you go back to the surgeon who treated you? You want to go back to the guy who hurt you in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some plastic surgeons of more or less competence, but some of these operations are just horrendous.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Orient, I saw also the concern of that has come out. I mean, as the psychological health as well, and you refer to this, how a person is impacted psychologically. And just Tuesday of this week, BMC Public Health, a peer-reviewed scientific journal, indicated, and I'm looking at a story here from the Daily Signal, actually came out in early June, said in our study, the level of life satisfaction in transgender people was not increased in transgender people who had undergone gender-affirming surgery as compared to those who were unoperated. Our data indicated that transgender and gender-diverse people who've undergone gender reassignment surgery feel lonelier than transgender-identified people who had not elected to have surgery. Talking about the higher levels of loneliness and the being outcast in areas like sports and so forth. But then we also have the Biden administration, June 13th, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, released survey results indicating that lesbian, gay, bisexual adults, and more likely than straight adults, experience mental health conditions, including major depression episodes, experience serious thoughts of suicide, according to an agency press release. So higher rates of drug abuse and mental illness and many even having suicidal thoughts?
There's a lot of evidence out there that may be contradictory. I mean, the advocates will say that you have to do this. Would you rather have a dead son or a live daughter? But the studies that they quote, they don't have long-term follow-up. They have lost contact with a tremendous number of patients, maybe even a majority of the patients. And so they're claiming that the patients are better off when they have no way of really knowing this. The fact is that a lot of the patients who are going in for this transgender treatment have problems to begin with. They have anxiety, they have depression, a whole lot of them are autistic, they're having family problems, they may have been abused, and instead of trying to help them with what is making them so miserable, you think, oh, we'll do this little operation, or we'll give you this pill, and you'll be okay. I mean, that's just a lie. That's incompetence. It's malfeasance.
As you're aware, there's a great push for those in your profession to use gender-preferred pronouns for patients who are gender-confused. And really, we're seeing this happen in the marketplace throughout all types of jobs here across this nation as well. Tell us your concern on that issue.
Well, I think it's a crazy fad. I mean, who is another person to tell me what pronouns I use in the third person when I'm talking about that person? And to make this sort of a crime to mispronoun somebody or to misgender somebody, mm-hmm. is, I mean, how dictatorial can you get trying to get into somebody else's mind and trying to dictate how they have to think about you?
As you know, there's great danger to your profession as there are those who are wanting to require doctors to participate in gender-affirming care. I'm sure this concerns your organization.
It certainly does. It certainly does. But again, that's part of a trend toward forcing doctors to do what the authorities want, forcing them to give vaccines they don't believe in, forbidding them to give safe repurposed drugs for COVID, requiring them to participate in abortions, requiring them to participate in assisted suicide or else referring the patient to somebody who will do it. All of these things are to override the doctor's own conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to have doctors going around who don't have a conscience. Is that the kind of person you want treating you?
And does your organization engage in legal action in opposition to these things?
Oh, yes. We do a lot of litigation or filing amicus briefs to defend the right of doctors to give and patients to receive care that they believe is best for them.
Hmm. Anything active that you're doing in that regard?
Well, we've been certainly fighting up for the right of patients to get things like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, once you go into the hospital, patients are pretty much subject to whatever the hospital protocol is. And we've made the comment the hospital should have to post a big sign on their door. If you come in here, you lose your right to take medicines that your own doctor might think is best for you.
My. Friends, we're going to open our phone lines, and we're talking about so-called gender-affirming care here today on the program. And we welcome your phone calls. You have questions on this. It's being pushed. It's being foisted upon the American public through many different means, entertainers, political elite, the political correct crowds, the woke crowds. We're seeing it come through entertainment. It's coming through the media in that regard. And no doubt you may have a question on this issue, and it's even coming through the medical profession, the AMA. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. And sadly, now there are states that if your child, 12, 13 years old, says, no, my parents are not affirming of my gender, then they will have the right to take them away from you. We'll be right back.
One of the prevalent conflicts in society is the battle over gender and marriage. We are flooded with stories pertaining to drag queen story hours, the restroom debates, gender reassignment surgeries, pronoun identification, biological males on female athletic teams, and so much more. These issues are not only confronting schools and businesses, but they have also encroached inside the church. Many are left wondering how to deal with these matters. The book, The Marriage and Gender War, addresses these issues head-on by using the absolute standard for morality as found in God's Word, and is edited by Bodie Hodge and Ken Ham. The book is designed to equip students, parents, Christian leaders, and others to uphold the truths of Scripture on these critical issues. The Gender and Marriage War is available for a donation of $16 by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
Yes, in quotes today, our topic, gender-affirming care. Dr. Jean Orient is with us, Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Their website, aapsonline.org, aapsonline.org. And again, more information there. Those in the medical profession can become members there, we understand, and lots of information on their site on so many different issues. Friends, we're taking your calls today on this topic of so-called gender-affirming care. Our number to crosstalk is 800-733-9829. And it really should ring alarm bells here, Dr. Orient, because I know that there are states that are allowing social services to remove children from homes whose parents are not affirming of a change in gender for their child and will put them in the custody of the state. I mean, this is rather outrageous.
It's outrageous. It destroys families, destroys the children's lives.
They just don't know it.
They don't know it yet.
Yeah, but they will. Yeah. And friends, and you may have a child that says, if you don't, you know, do X, Y, Z for me, then I, you know, they are instructed. They're schooled on what they need to do in order to remove you from being their authority and allowing someone else, the state, to come in to affirm their so-called gender change.
Well, as Dr. Grossman points out, this is just absolutely devastating to parents. You know, they've been there for the children when they've been sick. They've protected them. They've loved them like no one ever will. And the child may be taken away from their parents, and what then? When something bad happens to the child, who's going to be there for him?
Yeah.
Their kindergarten teacher, their school counselor, their social worker.
Yeah, they're gone. Let's go to Julie in Pensacola, Florida. Julie, you're on the air.
You know, I just wanted to make a comment about this topic, is that it would be a very wise thing for a parent, even a grandparent, to knock out the TV, get rid of it, and just, you know, if they see the kids playing, watching TV or playing the video game, say, hey, let's go play a game of baseball outside. Let's grab a few family members and just get out there and do what's right and stop watching the TV, because that TV is what's influencing all this, all of it.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you for the comments. And Dr. Orient, we're seeing just an influx, and it happens especially in June of every year, but it gets more and more every year. Even preschool programs geared at for young people, whether it be that of Blue's Clues or Sesame Street or the little Peppa the Pig and others that are influencing young children's minds to even question if they're a boy or a girl.
Yeah, absolutely. And then social media is particularly devastating. It can be very personalized.
Mm-hmm. And it's happening. And this is where many teens are falling prey to it.
Yeah, here's where you can go to buy a binder so that your mother won't find out.
It's amazing. Yeah. Bo is next out of Venice, Florida. Bo, you're on the air.
Yes, I would make a comment as well. This is very a spirit. Jonathan Collins just wrote a book on the return of the gods. And what we're experiencing right now is a deep demonic force. They hate God. They do not want to be twisted in any way to his principles. There are inner churches. I tell you what, that the main thing that we need to do is really seek God and pray, because the people who are in charge of this whole thing, just how you said, the gender and the dictionary has been perverted now.
Yep.
They have a gender, and our gender has been perverted, and that's behind their agenda. And it's very demonic. I see it in the churches. I have a little one-year-old girl who's made in the image of God. Satan has converted everything since the beginning.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bo. And let me say here, Doctor, indeed, we go back to the book of Genesis. We find it very clear that God made them male and female, and that's not changed through time, but yet we are seeing a generation that really wants to throw that out the window.
Well, and throw out the window all kinds of science.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one very distressing thing is the churches are either going along with this or they're just pretending like it isn't happening.
Yeah, yeah. Friends, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Have a couple open lines, 800-733-9829. We have Elizabeth calling from Tennessee. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the air.
Good evening. Yes, I don't believe anyone grows out of this gender confusion. I believe God Almighty in His love and mercy helps them to see they are male or female. Thank you, and God bless.
Okay. Any comment there, Doctor?
Well, I think that people do eventually come to realize that they were mistaken in their gender, gender confusion. I think even adults, the very rare people who have had gender dysphoria in the past who have been treated by specialists, endocrinologists, and so on, maybe even have lived as a member of the opposite sex for many years, generally they do know what their sex really is. But I guess there are people who are delusional, and no matter what the evidence is, they still hold to their delusion.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. John is calling from Lawrence, Michigan. John, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you. I guess the first thing I would say is follow the money. And it's sad because these kids, whatever happened to being a kid? You know, you'd go to a library and you'd read a book, and now you're getting this stuff shoved down your throat. Every ad on TV, every comedy shows that if you're a two-parent family, you're nuts. And it's sad I don't even watch the TV anymore. Where I worked, and I'm retired, we had three people that have had sex changes. One waited till he was 53 to become a woman, and two out of the three committed suicide. And I guess my one question is, can you see this society and how this is going to work out in 5 or 10 years? This is going to be so goofed up. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you. Doctor, looking down the road, where is this going to lead us?
Well, I think we're either going to wake up or we are going to be gone. Do we know of any civilizations that are still around that did not hold to God's created order? I mean, the whole idea of this transsexualism is you cannot reproduce in the normal way. So what, after one generation?
Yeah.
I guess that's why they have to try to recruit the children.
Yeah.
Because they can't have any kids of their own.
There is an organ, and the first comments that a caller made was follow the money, and I saw an article, grandviewresearch.com, and they pointed out this. They say that the U.S. sex reassignment surgery market size was valued in 2021 at $1.9 billion, expected to expand at a compound annual growth rate of 11.23% from the years 2022 to the year 2030. When he says follow the money, wow, there's big money in this, is there not?
There is. That's a very good comment. Yes, there is a lot of money in it.
Wow.
And once you get one of these kids, and maybe even just you're doing their hairstyle or their clothing to start with, once you've got them, chances are good you're going to have them for life.
Aaron is calling next from London, Kentucky. Aaron, turn the radio down, please.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Okay, I just got a quick question. Is there a bill that we can call our senators on to try to keep parents from losing this control over the decision that these kids shouldn't be allowed, the government shouldn't be allowed to make for them?
You know, there are a number of states right now that are battling this. I'm not aware of anything happening in Kentucky. I just don't know off the top of my head, but California and Minnesota and Washington and Oregon and others are at some level of this. Other states are taking proactive steps to protect children in this regard. I don't know. Do you have any kind of legislative tractor, Doctor?
Well, we do have a tool for helping people contact their states. We depend on people to give us intelligence about what's going on in their state so we can let people know about it. You know, Oregon just had a strike in the Senate where the senators did not show up for a long time to prevent them from getting a quorum. Eventually they caved, but I guess they got some compromise. At first they were going to be able to cut up these children without parental consent, and I think they changed it. So now at least you have to get the parents' consent before you castrate your little boy or cut the breasts off your little girl. Mm. But, you know, they're really clever about their language. They don't really tell you what they really want to do to these poor children.
You know, also, Aaron, you can check in your state if you have something like a chapter of the Family Research Council, Kentucky Research Council, something of that nature that is the tracking legislation in your own state. That would be something that you'd want to check out as well.
Yes, the states are very, very important, and it's very gratifying to see that there are a number of states that are protecting children against mutilation.
Yeah. Thank you, Aaron, for the call.
Yeah.
We've got Colleen next in Florida. Colleen, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to suggest to anybody who is loves kids, a great way to redirect them and direct them back to the Bible is get involved in kids' clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Satanists have declared that they will have a club in every school throughout the country. That's mm-hmm. their goal. We need to have the kids' clubs in every school. I helped with one this year, and what a tremendous blessing it was.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids were so eager to learn, and those kids were kids who didn't go to church for the most part. We had 22 kids raise their hands for salvation.
Mm.
It was such a blessing to me. And you don't have to be a parent. I did this when my kids were young, and when I was asked to help out again, I thought, been there, done that. But I decided to do it once, and I realized, oh my gosh, parents are busy. If we don't invest time in this generation, we're going to lose them.
Thank you, Colleen, for that. And what she's pointing out here, really, Doctor, is the role of the church, the role of the church in times like these. I mean, we can't sit idle, can we?
Well, we cannot. And I think having ordinary, regular people involved is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rely on the professionals, because a lot of them have been indoctrinated and they're going wrong. I think that the people who have firsthand experience with children of their own are extremely important. And they, you know, they've been taught by their kids and they've got good instincts.
Let's hit Mac, get to Mac next. And Mac, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got a quick comment regarding the DCF, Department of Children and Families, getting involved in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a gross negligence, I think, on their part, because there's no reason to ever have them. I worked for a DCF or the Families First Network here in Northwest Florida once upon a time, and their power and the ability that they have to disrupt things is just off the dart. So I'd like to hear, you know, what you might comment on that, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Doctor?
Well, I think that a lot of state agencies, and I'm not sure which one he was talking about, but the Child Protective Services, they may actually be on the dark side. They may be disrupting families and even tearing families apart. And I think there may be some element of following the money there, too.
Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Have a couple open lines right now. Dr. Jean Orient, our guest, 800-733-9829. Their website is aapsonline.org. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, Christ says, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." There are now reports of an artificial intelligence Jesus. You can see it online. I have. And now over 36,000 people are regularly, so far, talking to this so-called artificial intelligence Jesus, who is completely politically correct. It's blasphemy. I think it's meant to mock Christ. But what it shows us, I believe, is the technology is there for this to be used to deceive the whole world. Not to mention, what will this image in the temple be that is set up by the Antichrist to speak words of blasphemy? Wait for the technology to advance further with holograms and artificial intelligence, and many will be greatly deceived by a technocratic savior, even if it's artificial intelligence. I'm Brandon House.
Dr. Jane Orient, our guest here today on Crosstalk on so-called gender-affirming care. You're seeing it almost daily in print in news services. You're hearing it on newscast. You're seeing it come through in many, many different venues. And one of the areas of venue that it's coming through, perhaps unbeknownst to parents, doctor, is the area of schools.
Right. Parents may assume that the schools are like they always used to be, but they would be very mistaken. They're even incorporating this garbage into math class. Parents need to know what's going on. And I really think that most parents need to get their children out of public school. And many private schools, unfortunately, are going along the same type of path on the curriculum. Hmm. But these children are exposed all day long to very bad influences.
Yeah, they'll get it in some of their subject classes, and all it takes is a trip to the guidance counselor, and secrets are kept from mom and dad, and they're put in touch with others, and that child can have decisions made for them that go beyond parental knowledge or consent.
Exactly.
Wow. Let's go back to the phone lines. Joseph in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hello.
Please go ahead, what Joseph. Time is short. You're on the air.
Okay, so basically, I feel that this transgender situation is part of a bigger issue at play here. I actually felt a lot of fear calling in today because it's amazing how much censorship is going on, and this new technology and the way that they're able to, through Facebook, through Twitter, and they're able to put things into people's heads. Through this new technology, it's basically like a warfare that's going on. And I see it, you know, today I saw a commercial from Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood has the history of going into the dark-skinned communities and creating abortions, abortion clinics, mm-hmm. to cut down on the amount of, you know, people that were disliked at a certain point in our history. And now it seems that with this new technology, they're able to get a lot more, a lot faster through convincing people that, you know, confusing people, basically.
Okay.
I believe is what's going on.
Thank you, Joseph. I think we got your point. Doctor, comment on this. The media, you know, whether people do web searches, the algorithms can direct people down a pathway that will be very one-sided in the information that they get.
Yes, they do. There is this information warfare going on, and it's everywhere. The media, the entertainment, mm-hmm. schools, high-powered academics, politics, churches—it's been infiltrated by this very dangerous ideology.
Let's go to Ryan next, Dodgeville, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Ryan.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Hello,
Ryan. You're on the air. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate what you guys are doing. This country has forsaken God. I know a lot of Christians don't read the Bible. Jesus Christ said, do not withhold the little ones for coming unto me. And if anyone leads one of these little ones astray, would be better off if he was thrown into the deep sea with a millstone around his neck. The people that are doing this and pushing this are going to burn in hell. And that's my comment.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. To Christine in Racine, you're on the air.
I would like to piggyback on her comment about the medical establishment being compromised. I have seen that in the church I previously attended, that you were demonized if you even mentioned the need for great discernment with the vaccines and the everything that the everything that was being done, and mm-hmm. You were not allowed to really dissent, you were just essentially ostracized and created as a troublemaker. So I equate all of it as just an ability now for these entities to control everything. Money ideologies are controlled, and thank you for everything you've done today. Thank you so very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your call here today. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. We have John calling. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Yeah, I turned on the TV for a show that was called Family is Family, and I didn't see her, but it was it said that O'Donnell girl, but she wasn't there. It was two women, and it ended up being a marriage in their backyard by the pool, all pretty and everything with their white dresses on. But they had two boys. I don't know if they adopted them. Are they allowed to adopt? I mean, these boys were, they almost look like twins, but they were about 6 or 7. And so I thought, oh, those poor boys have to grow up there with two moms. And
thank you for that. And indeed, doctor, and this has been allowed for so-called same-sex marriage or same-sex couples to adopt children. That is taking place.
It is, and I think what of greater concern to me is that a Christian couple who wants to raise a child according to the Bible may not be permitted to adopt.
Yeah.
They may be forced to say that they will allow gender-affirming care.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, John. We're going to squeeze one last call in. West Dallas, Wisconsin. Doug, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim and Dr. Orient. First, I want to just thank you both for what you do. Tough jobs. Anyway, I can affirm what I saw in West Dallas schools at the end of my career. I just substitute taught in West Dallas schools, and I saw a second grader who didn't get this math problem right until he correctly answered a social engineering type question.
Hmm.
He tried three times until he finally got it right. And I saw, the agenda, the LGBTQ agenda. The kids talked about it freely. There was a sweet little girl who wanted to be called a boy's name. And even in high school, different subject, but I saw how social studies were teaching our kids to look down on our past, our country's past.
Yeah. Tell you what, I'm going to have to interrupt you, Doug, because we're down to less than half a minute. Doctor, he's talking about the indoctrinating of children, even through social engineering in regular academics.
It's just pervasive. Get your kid out of the public school.
Thank you. And sorry, Doug, to have to cut you short there. Dr. Jane Orient, our guest here today on Crosstalk, Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Their website is aapsonline.org. This is one of just many issues that they deal with, and you'll find a lot of helpful information there, aapsonline.org. Dr. Orient, thank you for joining us here today on the broadcast.
My pleasure.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.